Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
And I never get tired of that song. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Nicole Romano with Bring Your All, and I'm so excited to have you joining me tonight. I'm also very excited about our guest this evening. We'll be getting to Nicole Jackson with the project designer in just a second, but I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about something that hit me today while I was walking through Central Park here in New York City. So I was thinking back to early days in my career in corporate America when I was still kind of bouncing around trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do. And I kept moving. Every year I had a different job, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Or I was ignoring, you know, the signs that were being thrown my way. I was so stubborn about wanting to do this one thing to prove to the world that I could do it that I was ignoring the signs telling me to go in another direction. Well, finally I listened. And I realized that my dad was right. I needed to go pursue marketing just like he told me to do when I was off at college. Even though I ignored that advice back then, I finally listened. And I realized that that's exactly where I needed to be. That's exactly, you know, it took me a while to get there, but that's exactly what I needed to do and exactly that time. So what I wanted to share with you is to not ignore the signs, to listen to everything around you, you know, whatever's kind of coming your way, don't ignore it, don't fight it, kind of feel into it, allow it to kind of stir in your brain for a little while, and really figure out what's right for you. Forget about pleasing other people, forget about proving to someone else that you can do it. Do what's right for you, do it for you, for nothing else. And then having the courage and confidence to do so. It can be really hard to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this one thing anymore. I'm going to go down this other path. And I know when I switched jobs, every time I was doing it, my family would say, oh, what are you doing now? What's happening? And there would be the confused looks and, you know, the worries from my mom. And I realized that it didn't really matter because I was happy. I was following my heart. I was doing what I needed to do. And to have that courage and to have that confidence to be able to tell people what I was doing and why it was so important to me was so, so important for my own development, for my own growth, to be able to stand up for myself and say, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this because it's what you want me to do. I'm doing it because it's what I want to do. To be able to say that, to be able to communicate that to someone, it took a lot of courage. It really did. But I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I took the path I took because it got me where I am today, talking with all of you amazing people, and especially Nicole Jackson of the Project Designer. Nicole, I just wanted to say hi. Hope you can hear me. Nicole, can you hear me? Let's see.
Oh, she unmuted.
How about now? Nicole, can you hear me now? Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. Did you hear me at all for the last few minutes, or have I just been talking into the air?
No, I could hear you. I could hear you for the last
fantastic.
Few minutes. I don't think you could hear me.
No, but hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Of course. I'm so glad. So for those of you guys who don't yet know Nicole, she is the founder of the Project Designer. And when I first heard about her business, I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even think that that could be a real job. It was just such an exciting thing for me to realize. And Nicole, I think you could do a better job than I can of explaining to everyone what exactly it is that you do with your company.
Sure. So I have a project management agency, and we support online entrepreneurs and influencers to launch their projects out into the world. And so projects that we support people with are course launches and online program launches and podcasts and YouTube channels and all of the projects that people have going on in their business. And now I also train and mentor project managers in their own businesses and other service providers too, ultimately to make sure that everyone's doing what they love to be doing and what they want to be doing. And, you know, that changes and evolves with time. So being able to be that support for other people.
Absolutely. And you talk about things changing and evolving over time. You initially started out, you mentioned, you know, I know you had a career in television. And while you were there, you were doing project management then too as well, correct?
Yeah, so I never had an official project manager title. When I worked at my first job, I was a project coordinator. And then when I moved into my next job, I was in sourcing and procurement. However, there was a lot of project management that was involved in what I did, mainly because we actually didn't have project managers in our area. So it was our responsibility to kind of take it over. And through that, I realized that I've actually been project managing for most of my life. And, you know, if I look back to even being like a kid and, you know, I always had a schedule and had no problem telling people what to do. So it really was something that I realized I loved. And so I naturally, I think, brought it to every job that I have ever been a part of.
Amazing. So a Jill of all trades in a sense.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, definitely. I have a gift for pulling people together and getting things done. So, and that's exactly what I did when I worked in corporate and also what I'm doing now in my own business.
So while you were in corporate, at some point you realized that, you know, things needed to change. What was that turning point for you?
Yeah, so I did for the most part enjoy my job. We worked on really interesting projects. I had a great mentor and boss. I was, you know, people acknowledged what I did and I felt like I had growth and a lot of opportunities for me. However, there were these times where I would just get this feeling that I wasn't sure if that was what I should be doing. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to create and have a career based on what I was doing in television. And I realized that even though I was excited about the projects I was working on, it wasn't necessarily something I would say I was passionate about. And I knew that there was something that was missing. And so that was really the first time. It wasn't necessarily like something bad happening. It was more of just this sense within me that there was something else out there and that I was meant for more than what I was doing when I worked in television.
So I know I mentioned just a few moments ago how I'd kind of gone through these phases myself of trying to figure out where I should be, what I should really be doing with my life. I was good at things, but it wasn't really grabbing me or lighting me up. It wasn't, you know, the reason I woke up every morning. How did you find, you know, this voice or this ability to really zone in and figure out what your true desires were?
That's a really good question, because it took me a very long time, because I honestly didn't know. I was trying to, part of the journey of being in corporate, you know, I had suffered from perfectionism, and that led to eating disorders and other pretty unhealthy behaviors and patterns. And so the first thing that I needed to do was really to support myself and get better. And so I started going, you know, to therapy. I started going to a nutritionist. I started really focusing on my health. I got into spirituality and I started helping myself and supporting other people in that way. And so the first business that I had was in wellness and health and spirituality. And I forget where I read this, but sometimes there was something that someone said once where it's like the first business you start is sometimes more to help yourself and to like get through what you need to get through. And it's there to show you what's next. And so while I was doing that, I realized it was more of just an expensive hobby for myself, but it was really something I was passionate about. But after doing that for a little while, I realized that there was something missing, and the piece that was missing was the business side. I really love talking with other business owners and strategizing with them and figuring out, you know, what projects that were coming up for them and ways that they could really start implementing, because I sensed that people were getting hung up on the idea phase and never really taking action. So I was able to help them do that just through, I mean, through having my own wellness business. I was able to meet these other people, and I had a conversation with one of my mentors, and I said, you know, I really do like the project management piece of my current job. Even though I don't necessarily hold a project manager title, I like project planning. I like management. I like seeing everything coming together. I like bringing groups and teams together to get something done and working with people in that way. And she was like, why don't you just start a project management business for small businesses? And I'm like, oh, you know, like it was this aha moment. And I remember going home, and I was living in New York City at the time, taking the train home, and just thinking, oh my gosh, like what if I did this? And so it didn't happen right away, but it was definitely that spark that then led to me taking further action and starting to support people in their businesses when it came to, you know, more of the admin business side versus supporting people with health and wellness. And honestly, it's all come together because now in the way that I work with my clients and the way that I mentor my my students, I do pull from everything that I've learned in my life. And part of that is, you know, feeling better and making sure that self-care is incorporated in their day, because that impacts the projects that we work on together. So it's all come together really nicely. But it was a journey to figure out what exactly it was for me. And a lot of it was just through some trial. I wouldn't even say trial and error, but just through some trial.
And as you guys heard, Nicole mentioned she loves supporting other entrepreneurs. So this is your chance to ask her any questions you have. Give us a call at 646-787-1676 to get your questions answered live on the air with Nicole. Again, that number is 646-787-1676. Nicole, you mentioned self-care, and I don't think people understand just how important self-care is, especially when you're starting a new business or if you're feeling kind of lost in your corporate role. I think there are times where we start to put ourselves last. We get so focused mm-hmm. on the job or so focused in building this new thing that we forget to take care of us. You've now been on both sides, both in corporate and now in your role helping other entrepreneurs. What would you say is the difference that you notice when people actually start to take better care of themselves and practice self-care on a regular basis?
Yeah, it really allows, self-care is so important. And I want to call it something different because I don't even know if self-care like accurately describes what it is. But being able to, I think what can happen with people, especially it happens anytime, whether you're in a job, whether you have your own business, when you are trying to grow something and evolve, a lot of time it's like you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're working harder.
So
and you know, especially if you have
instead of alcohol, they have weed.
That's good.
Oh, I think someone might be talking. But yeah, so anytime you, you know, actually are bogged down with a lot to do, it can be very easy just to get stuck on that. And what can happen is that you become, like, ineffective. It's almost like you're trying to, like, push and push and push, and you're not able to take a step back and see a better way of doing something. And so self-care, and this is something that, I mean, I have to constantly reevaluate in my own life. It's something that I help, you know, my team with, I help my clients with, I help my students with, and help them to see that, but also something that I really have to continue to practice, because as I grow and evolve and grow a bigger business, I have to take care of myself in different ways. And so, you know, one of the things that's really important for me is, you know, if I'm working through something, I like have to take a step away in order to get clear on what I need to do next. And so sometimes like just thinking does not solve the problem. It's really disconnecting and taking some time to take care of myself and get quiet so that I can come back with a fresh head and address, it doesn't even have to be a problem, but if there is a problem or a challenge, in a different way. And so that's why I believe that self-care is so important, and also why I choose to not, this is going to sound very weird, but one of the things that like people will say to delegate is, you know, have someone come in and take care of like your home and fold your laundry so that you can focus on your business. And I'm sure there are some days where I do not want to be cleaning or doing my laundry, but honestly, like doing that sometimes, like forcing myself to step away and do like and clean or go for a walk or whatever it is, allows me just that space to disconnect. It's almost like when you go into the shower and you're like washing your hair and all of a sudden you have like this brilliant idea. That's what happens when we take care of ourselves.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that you'll take a step back to kind of help yourself move forward. As you're growing, mm-hmm. as things are evolving, you kind of need that space to really figure out, where am I? What do I want to do? Where do I want to go? So having that moment to reflect really can make a huge difference. Absolutely.
Definitely.
So when you have these moments, you know, where you're able to kind of step out, take a step back, really just focus on yourself for a moment. Have you ever run into a situation where you've come back in and you've thought, I need to change direction. I need to do something totally different. How do you communicate changes like that to people?
Yeah, I have. And usually when I come back and I realize that I need to be doing something different, it makes so much sense to me. And so when I communicate it to others, it makes sense to them too, because I'm actually accurately able to describe what it is that I need to do and why I need to do it. When I am not clear and when I'm not sure and when I haven't allowed myself to have that aha moment, that's when I try and communicate, then it's when it doesn't make any sense and people are like, are you sure? So I think allowing myself to get clear and come back and realize I need to be doing something totally different, it's coming from a place of clarity, and from there I'm better able to communicate with other people. So I'll give you an example. You know, as I'm growing my business, I have, you know, a lot of what I do and a lot of what I recommend that other people do is just like to constantly evaluate what's happening inside of your life and business, like what's going really well, what's not working, and what changes need to be made in order to make it better or in order to do things differently. And so for what's happening right now in my own business is that I need to be supported in different ways with a team, and I need to have different systems. So when I first started my business, I had no need for a lead management system, like a contact system, because I wasn't really talking to that many people. I would keep track of who I was talking to in a Google document. And, you know, anytime I would just set a note on my calendar to follow up with someone. Well, now, since we're serving more people and more clients and I'm talking to more people and have different offerings, I'm getting to a place where I'm feeling overwhelmed. And it came to a point where I like kind of needed a minute to just take a step back because I was getting so overwhelmed and I wasn't able to see clearly. And I stepped away and I had a conversation with a few people that I, you know, I have mentors and advisors and I have friends in the industry that I always know who to go to and when. I have a really good support system. And it was really just getting clear of like, okay, I felt like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And actually I did know what to do. I just had to take a minute to really think through what the issue was. And it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that I was bad at my job, and it wasn't that I was, you know, losing track of everything. And it wasn't that I just had to like shut everything down. Cause like sometimes it gets to an emotional point where you really question like, what is happening? And am I really like meant to be the one doing this? And it just gets so dramatic sometimes when things are just floating around in our head. And so by being able to take a step back, it just lessens the drama. And it allowed me to be like, oh, we actually just need to have a client onboarding system, which we've never had to have before, but now we do. And so, you know, now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to implement the system, and it's going to change the way that we work, because the system that we have right now is not working. And so I need to communicate that to my team. But it's very clear. I can explain to them what happened, what led up to this point, what I think the solution is, and what the next steps are. And I can do that from a space of clarity versus like confusion, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's all about overcoming the overwhelm. There's always going to be a point in your life where you just feel like everything's going haywire. And you need that clarity. You need that moment to kind of step back and say, what's really happening, and regain control of the situation. So the fact that you're able to take a step back to realize, hey, you know, this isn't working anymore. It's not that we're not good at what we do. It's just, you know, the business is changing. There's new things happening. So how do we address it in a way that better suits our needs? And I think, you know, it takes a lot of courage to really say, this isn't working anymore. Something has to change. And I know at one point you were doing both the 9-to-5 and starting your business. Mm-hmm. At some point you decided, like, you know what, I can't do both. I'm going to make one decision. How did you, you know, how did you find the strength to kind of cut the cord, if you will, with your corporate role, with that security and that stability, and say, you know what, this isn't working anymore. I'm going to go down this new road.
Yeah, it was really difficult. You know, I think there's a few different answers. You know, one is that I knew that I wanted to do project management in the online space. I didn't quite know how I was going to do that. So I started taking on a few clients and making sure that they had a really amazing experience, learning from that, from my experience, and then getting out there and trying to get more clients. And it was tough. It was interesting trying to get more clients and knowing I had a full-time job. And I'm sure I've talked to people and I know that that can kind of be a struggle of, okay, like I'm not going to be visible because I just don't have like the bandwidth or the time to take on these people while I still have my job, but I can't leave my job yet. And it's like this interesting situation to be in. And so I decided, you know, I took on as many clients as I could while still having my job to make sure that it was something and really testing it out and make sure it was something I liked doing, that I liked the people I was working with, kind of get the kinks out. And then it came to a point where I just knew that I could not take on another client and I had to make a decision. So do I do this side business full time, or do I just stay at my corporate job? Like, I have to make a decision on this because right now I'm stuck. Like, I can't grow anymore in my own business. And so that was, and I knew intuitively that it was the right move to make, but it was still scary. I had been working at my job for 7 years, that job, and I had a great group of people I was working with. I knew how to do my job really well. I did have a lot of growth potential there too. So it wasn't like I was leaving this terrible job where I wasn't, you know, getting compensated enough or feeling appreciated. Like, I was feeling all of those things and I still knew that there was something else. And so really it came to that time period where I had gathered all of my information. I had tested out the marketplace. I knew that people needed this. I had clients, I had income coming in, and I knew that I could not continue to grow without having more time. And so that's when I made that decision. And the way that I did that was, you know, I didn't want to leave my current company in a lurch because I did really want to make sure that they felt supported and had enough time to transition. And so I gave, I think, almost a 2-month notice, and it allowed me to slowly disconnect from that job, knowing that there was an end point, and allowed me to then have more sales calls to start booking clients when I knew that I would have more time. So I started booking clients out 2 months to start, so that when I left my job, I had, I wasn't completely booked out, but I was very close to it.
Sounds like a very logical approach to things. And I love that you mentioned time. I think so many people have this idea that they don't have enough time, that, you know, their days are so busy that they just run out of it. And I remember I've read a few books now where it's like, there's always enough time. You decide what your schedule looks like. So you get to decide how you're spending your time. So it's not that you never have enough time. It's how you're spending it. And I know when we got connected a few months ago, you mentioned to me this book, it's called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by Greg McKeown. And honestly, it was the most life-changing book I think that I've read. I remember being on the plane and whipping it out and just highlighting the whole thing on my Kindle. I just wish that I had had the actual book because it was such an amazing read. And, you know, it wasn't a very long or hard read. It was just like practical advice. So how did you find that practicing the pursuit of less helped to move you forward in your life and business?
Yeah, so anytime where I get to a point where I feel like things are getting too complicated or where there's not enough time, I know that I need to take a look at how to do things in a different way, because I am a workaholic. I mean, I try not to be anymore, but I can very easily be a workaholic where I will just work all night. I mean, I'll just keep going and going and going. It's like the gas tank is always full for the most part. And I need to be very mindful of working smarter and not harder. And so what that book did for me and just generally putting some of those practices in place is that I believe we have restrictions for a reason, and it allows us to be more creative with our approach. For example, money. When you have a restriction on the amount of money that you spend, you are forced to be more creative with how you are spending your money and potentially look at solutions that you wouldn't have considered before. This has come up when I worked in corporate and we had budgets that we had to follow. It has come up in my own business where I, need to make decisions and would have never looked at another solution if it wasn't for like a budgetary amount that I was trying to stay within. For time, there's only so much time we have in a day. And so it kind of forces us to be more creative with the way that we are using our time. And I have found that especially, and again, this is a practice. I have definitely not mastered this at all, and I never will, I'm sure. But it's a practice of constantly asking myself, what do I need to be focusing on right now? And when I get really excited about the gazillion ideas that I have and what I want to do, to really stop myself to think about what is it that I love to do and what's available for me right now and what should I be focusing on right now? And then out of all of these ideas, let me just write them down and I can focus on them later. But right now, like, this is the priority. I'm going to focus on this and I'm able to do a better job. So that's really how I have approached that, like, less is more and trying to simplify. I think it does allow us to be a little bit more creative and, again, just come up with solutions that we might not originally considered, especially if you're someone like me who could probably just continue working and working 24 hours a day.
Absolutely. And I love how you mentioned, you know, creativity and thinking outside of the box. And again, if you guys have questions for Nicole, now is your chance. Give us a call at 646-787-1676. But back to what you mentioned about creativity and, you know, really figuring out the best way to spend your time. When you are in a 9-to-5 and you're working on building your business, there's always going to be the struggle, right? There's always going to be this challenge of how do you do both? Where can you get creative with your time? What can you do to really make it so that you're working towards your end goal of potentially leaving your job if that's the direction you want to take? What advice would you give to someone who's in that position where, you know, they've started their business, they're still in their 9-to-5, and they're having a hard time doing both?
Yeah, so there's one thing that keeps coming up for me, and that is that it will be a heck of a lot easier to grow a business on the side if it's something that is so aligned and that you are so passionate about. It has to be more than something that's just something that's fun to do. It has to be what you are truly passionate about, because there are times that are going to get things are going to get hard. You're going to have to work long hours. And when you're doing it on something that you are truly passionate about, you will get it done. So that's something to think about. And another thing is to start getting creative. So what I did I had a job where we needed to be in the office at our desks, sitting, working at 8:30 o'clock in the morning until 6:30 at night. And there were some days that went longer than that. And so it was not a typical 9-to-5. It was more, you know, like an 8:30 to 6:30 type of situation. And so, with that, I had to get creative. And because I was so passionate about this, I would get home sometimes at 7:30 and hop onto a client call at 8 p.m. And the first client I worked with was in Australia. And so for her, it was, you know, her 10 a.m. the next day during her working hours, and it made a ton of sense for her to work with me. Another person I worked with, I'm on the East Coast of the US, so another person I worked with was in California, and so it would be 3 hours earlier, so it wasn't as late for her. So there are a lot of, again, it's that creative solutions, right? So part of the amazing part of owning your own business and working virtually is that you get to work with people who are literally all over the world. And so if, time constraint or the times that you can get on the phone with someone is an issue, consider who you're talking to and what their situation is. I mean, I actually work with a lot of people on the East Coast that have children and prefer to work from, they designate from like 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. to get their work done. And so it just really depends on who you're talking to. And so I think sometimes we put limits on what we're able to do based on what we think we know. And there's so many different people out there to serve and work with that need your help and need your help during the hours that will work for you. So I think it definitely comes back to what is hard about it for you. Is it that you just don't have the energy at the end of the day, and what you're working on, maybe something that is you like to do but you don't love to do? Or is it that like you feel like you can't get clients because of logistics? There's a solution for everything. It's just getting really clear on what the problem is, and then figuring out a solution from there.
Absolutely. I think we sometimes make assumptions about how things are going to be or how it has to be. And then I did this myself recently, where I assume that there's, some of the skills I have when it comes to communicating or being more effective and efficient with how you're delivering a presentation. I just assumed a lot of people knew that. And then I realized that actually, that was something that I have people coming to me to assist them with. I was like, oh, so it's like you were saying, it's about getting creative. It's about getting out of your own way and really opening yourself up to these other possibilities. Because like you said, now you're the CEO. You get to decide how you run your own company and the hours you're going to work and what it's going to look like for you, which I think is really exciting. So what did you find to be one of the hardest parts of transitioning into this role, to becoming your own boss and having a team now?
Yeah, so probably one of the hardest pieces of becoming my own boss was transitioning from being an employee and having an employee mindset versus having the mindset of a partner in somebody else's business. And so coming in as a project manager and having worked for somebody else for so long, it was very easy for me to just bend with clients. And, they would ask me to work on something and I would say yes before I even considered, wait, is this actually inside of our scope? maybe I need to have a pricing conversation with them. Or I was having a hard time saying no. And so it was this act of setting better boundaries for myself. And it really, I know after talking to a lot of people, it's something that comes up for a lot of, and even a lot of the people that I mentor, is setting boundaries. And so I would say that was probably one of the biggest challenges that I came across in transitioning to being my own boss, was just switching that frame of mind. And growing a team is like a whole nother, is a whole nother world. Because I have been on a team and I know what it's like to work for somebody else, I'm very mindful and protective of my team, and I want to make sure that they're having an amazing experience. And as we grow and evolve, we're working on different projects, we're working with different people, and you know, I try and make it so that the projects that we take on are amazing, the clients that we're working with are amazing, and usually it works very well. And sometimes we have clients or there's teams that we're managing that are quite challenging. And so, you know, it's been interesting transitioning to growing a team, because I've realized, and this is what I teach for people who are hiring, because I help people with hiring too, that when you start hiring a team, you're forced to start putting boundaries in place that you probably should have had in place anyway. For example, like when onboarding clients, to set parameters around like what hours you'll be working and be clear with what it is that you're working on and what you're not working on. And putting certain like procedures in place to make sure that the team is having a good experience. And again, it's really things that should have been in place anyway, making sure that you're pricing yourself accordingly to be able to pay, you know, make money yourself. Because I mean, I'm very involved with my clients. So there's that, making sure that my team feels adequately and are happy with their compensation. And so pricing myself in a way that supports that. And, you know, again, just setting these things in place that allow for not just myself to have a good experience and be able to grow my own company, but like my team is my family. And so to really be mindful of their experience and to try my best to provide a great team environment for them.
Which I think makes you a great leader. When you're looking out for other people, when you take all the experiences you've had and learn from it and apply, you know, the best of everything you've seen, it really makes you more informed. And the better leader you can be, the more productive your team can be. So I think that's a really great asset that you have. So that's very,
thank
very
you.
Exciting to hear.
I was just going to say, you know, and I really believe in when like the people that you're working with are happy, so that clients, team members, everyone, it's a total ripple effect. So everyone has a better experience. And so I want to be happy as a business owner. I want my team to be happy. And it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily like the only one responsible for their happiness, but I want to at least be having a culture that supports that. So right. I think that's important to
me. And that's what, absolutely. And that's where communication really becomes so important. I imagine in your line of work where you're project managing and really coming in and taking over from someone else, even if it's for a short time, it can't always be the easiest thing in the world, especially for someone who's had such tight control over their business, if, you know, they're growing. Have you ever run into a situation where it's been a challenge for some of your clients to step away? And how did you help communicate your services better to help them kind of relinquish the reins so that you could really come in and support them the best way you can?
That's a really good question. So one of the, you know, I think it's understanding, I try and understand where people are coming from all the time. I'm very empathetic. So I have a way of just understanding what, like somebody's experience and then trying to support them in that way. So a lot of the clients that we work with are okay with completely, you know, allowing us to step in and taking over and just start taking over. And it's because we do that in a way that supports them so that they slowly start to build trust with us and feel really comfortable relinquishing that control. So it's not just like we come in and the next day they're not in their business anymore and just never talk to their team. We have a transition process where at first they're involved and we're getting onboarded and we're getting to know them and the team, and we come to them with questions and a dialogue, and we explain to them, you know, we offer up suggestions and recommendations and explain to them, you know, what needs to happen next and our thought process behind it, so that they can understand not only what we're doing, but like why we're doing that, and to make sure that it makes sense to them, answer their questions. And then they slowly feel more and more comfortable as we come in and start taking over things, they slowly start feeling comfortable with us taking over more. And most all of the clients that we work with, we've gone from managing one project at a time to multiple projects in their business. We have a lot of continuing clients. And I believe it's because of this, because we build up trust with them. They are successful with their project. And we debrief with them. So we talk about like what went well, what didn't go well, what we need to do differently next time, and constantly focus on improving their business and then their team's experience too, because that's, again, as you could probably sense from this conversation, something I'm really passionate about. So if we're in there managing their team and we notice, listen, you know, this person is working a lot, it sounds like they may need like a conversation with you, or they may need some encouragement from you, or we feel like the work really isn't being evenly distributed, or this one person that we're working with isn't really delivering. Like, we have a conversation with our client about that, because we can sometimes see so much more than they can, and then allow and make recommendations for them to have a better experience with their team as well, and to help nurture their team. So it's really nurturing the relationship and building upon that relationship, and where people end up feeling comfortable with us taking over the management piece of their business.
I know when I first got into the entrepreneurial space, everyone's like, people don't buy the product. People buy you. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. it's about the relationship you build. It's about, you know, how you nurture it and move it forward and creating a safe environment, letting people know, like, and trust you, really. And I think what you just explained is the perfect example of that. It really is about fostering a relationship and letting your clients know that you're not just in it for the money. You're in it to help them. Your end goal is the same as theirs. That at the end of the day, you want them to be just as successful as they want to be successful. So being able to communicate that both through your actions and through your words and showing them and really providing greater value than they probably even realize, you know, is a great example of how you can build those relationships and build your business at the end of the day.
Yeah, I totally, and something that we do say to the people that we work with is that, like, we will care as much about your project as, like, we're going to treat your project as if it's our own, because it is, like, it is technically our project, like, our project. And so you have to be able to walk your talk, what's the right phrase? You have to be able to, like, actually show that you care. And that's through action. So, you know, we obviously tell people, and since it's truthful, I think it comes across very genuine that we care about their projects and we want them to be successful. And we do spend a lot of time. I mean, that's something that I've done in my business, and something I was really hesitant to start a project management agency where I have project managers managing my clients, because every time I thought of agency, I just would hear these horror stories about how, you know, somebody moved into an agency model and then, like, their clients weren't happy because they didn't really know what was going on and da 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 da. And I'm just like, I do not want to grow a business like that. And, you know, we do things differently where, you know, I am involved in some of our client projects. And even for the ones I'm not as heavily involved, we have team calls. Like, I have team calls with my team twice a week, and then I'm available to them throughout, in between meetings, to help them and support them and nurture and mentor my own team to support our clients. So there's never a moment where I don't know what's going on. And we're always talking about how to make, based on what's happening in the project, how to make the experience better for our clients and for their team, and where we can offer suggestions and thinking through things creatively, like coming up with those creative solutions. So it's still a very high touch environment, even though it is an agency. And I really believe that that's why, you know, our clients stay with us for the most part, as long as they continue to have a business and have projects, is because we grow with them.
Mm. So what advice would you give to someone who's struggling to explain what they do or how they're also struggling to show how their services can help their clients?
I guess my question would be, like, why are they struggling? Is the struggle, I have a lot of questions. I'm a high fact finder, so I ask a ton of questions, but I like to get really specific. I think it really depends on what the challenge is. So if, you know, the challenge is that they, I mean, sometimes when you have a challenge like that, it's because you're not talking to the right people. And so they're not going to understand your value. I mean, there are people, our project management packages start at $2,200 per month. And some people look at that and they're like, are you kidding me? I would never pay $2,200 a month for project management. And there's other people who think that that's so cheap. And so it's important to be getting in front of the right people so that they understand what your value is. And obviously being able to communicate it, but communicate it in a way that actually solves their problem. So another thing that you can do is really have a conversation with them to understand what are their pain points, what is their vision, and to make sure that your solution will solve their pain and help them with their pain and get them towards their vision. And if they do, and you communicate it that way, then they'll want to move forward with you. So the first step is obviously asking the question, what are you struggling with right now? And asking some questions around that. And then the second step is, what do you, if in, you know, 3 months, 6 months from now, whenever, like, what's your vision? Like, in a perfect world, what would you be doing every day? And if, and the third step, or the second step is, do you feel like you are really the person to do that? Can you help them get there? And if you do, the third step is to walk them through it, to say, listen, I see where you're struggling right now, and I see where you want to go. And this is the way that my solution, my service, my offering, my product, my course, whatever, will help you do that. And this is how it does that. And so that's the second piece, to being able to communicate the value of what you're offering.
And I think you mentioned something earlier that's probably even more important than that. Being connected, really, truly connected to the work you're doing. Not just into it because, oh, it sounds like a good idea, or I think it'll be a quick way to make money, but to truly feel as if that's your passion and your calling, because that will come across as well. If you're not really invested in the work you're doing, you're going to have a hard time finding people that want to work with you, because they're going to see that you're not really there.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that if you're not doing something that's aligned, no one, other people won't see it. Or even if they do, it will be very short lived. So this is what happens when I think people go into things for the wrong reasons, or maybe, and it's not even like having ill intentions, it's just maybe not being aware enough to see it, is that, like, you know, if you're really building a company and a business, and be, if you really want to be a CEO, you have to be thinking long-term, not just short-term. And if you're coming at it from a mindset of, I just want to make money, or I just want to do this thing really quick, you're not, that's not a CEO mindset. So you may make money quickly, and then you're, and then what, and then what? You know, yeah. It's like, well, then what do you do? And you may not, you know, it may not work for you at all. And you know, and I've definitely been in the position where I'm like, well, let me try this, or let me try this, or maybe I need to do that. And, you know, there's been things that have totally failed, but since I am aligned, it hasn't stopped me, because I'm like, okay, I still know people need support with this. I just need to figure out a better way to communicate it, or to change my offering so that it solves what their issues are. And so I think, also, if you are having conversations and having trouble communicating the value, stop having a sales conversation and start just doing some research and asking questions to say, hey, listen, I'd love to know, like, what are you struggling right now? And like, what, how would you like to be supported? Or I'm trying, you know, this is what I'm doing, and I'm trying to put together a solution for people. I know that there's a need out there, but like, how do you feel when it comes to this area? So if it's health, like, what is your biggest struggle when it comes to health? Like, obviously you already know that, like, the basics of, you know, calories in, calories out, that sort of thing. But like, what's your struggle? Is it like an emotional thing? Is it, you know, and really get in there and figure out what it is, so that you can then just tweak either the way that you're talking about what you're offering, or tweak your offering too. And that was something that I actually did when I started my project management services. Was at first I was only, I had two offerings. One was speaking with the business owner and helping them map out a plan, and then walking them through that plan, and they were managing their own team to get it done. And the second offering was me coming in, putting together the plan, and me managing the team. And I very quickly stopped the offering of me coming in and supporting the business owner to support their own team, because it would fail, because they weren't great at managing. And so I'm like, why would I this doesn't make any sense. So I changed that. And so, you know, it's really, I think, an opportunity to tweak what it is that you're doing and to look at something differently so that then, and if it is something you're passionate about, don't give up on it, just change it a little bit and then see how that lands.
And I know you actually have a new offering, which is helping people become online project managers. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't know about me is that I actually started my career in New York City in project management. And there were some very, very stressful moments in my life. But I also learned a lot of incredible skills along the way, and I would never trade that experience for the world. So how would you tell if you're a good project manager or if you would make a good project manager?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. So like I said, like for myself, never held a project management title. And I think this is like a big point because I mentor and train project managers who some of them are PMP certified from the Project Management Institute. Others have never been called a project manager. Others are virtual assistants that know that they want to be doing something differently and don't want to be doing all this implementation work, but don't really know what that is. And so, I think like as far as the qualities of a project manager, it's, you know, being able to ask questions, like really great questions, and knowing how to talk to people. I really think that those are, there's lots of other things that are helpful, but if you know how to ask the right questions and you know how to partner with the right people and talk to them, then you will be a successful project manager. So what does that look like? I mean, if you have planned a wedding, you are a project manager. If you have helped, you know, maybe some team members in your job or even in your family solve a problem. Those are qualities of a project manager. If you've helped plan something out and put timelines to it, if you've taken your family on a vacation and had to plan and coordinate everyone's travel or a group of friends, oh my God, like that is, I planned a bachelorette party and it was like a lot of project management, really taking a look at like all of those experiences that you have. I mean, renovating your home, having children, if you can do that, you can do anything. those are all qualities of planning and organizing and preparation and management. And so if that is something that lights you up, if that is something that maybe you've been complimented on, that you have the qualities that would make for a really great project manager.
And if anyone is interested, you can go to www.theprojectdesigner.com to learn how to become an online project manager. I was looking at it earlier today, and like Nicole said, you probably don't even realize that you have skills that would make you a good project manager since you haven't been thinking of it that way. So open your mind to the possibility and, you know, take a look, see if it might be something that interests you. I did actually get a question from someone who couldn't join us because they're in London and they are asleep right now. But Kemi wanted to know what the difference was between corporate project management and online project management and transitioning. And I know you didn't necessarily have the title of a project manager, but you held those types of functions. Was the transition hard for you?
That's a really good question. And so I've mentored and trained corporate project managers to becoming online project managers. And so the management itself with planning out projects and working with people and team management, very similar qualities. So if you've already done it, that's awesome. What's different about the online space is that you are working with different systems and you are working with people virtually. So sometimes in the corporate space, maybe there's an office on the other side of the country or in another country where you have to work with people, but oftentimes it is a lot of face-to-face communication. So understanding how to work with virtual teams, how to use online systems in the best way, and then just getting familiar with the types of projects that you can be managing online. So a lot of the projects that we work on online our online program launches. We work on podcast launches and delivering podcasts, YouTube channels, rebrands. So if a business owner is growing and has decided to do a complete rebrand of their business, their website gets updated, their social media channels get updated. We've helped people with evergreen programs, which is basically, for those of you that don't know what that is, if somebody has a course or a program, there's one option is to launch it live. So you actually are launching it maybe once or twice a year. Another option is to have it evergreen, to where the cart is always open, but there's funnels that are coming into the business and drawing people into the business, new people, to go through this experience and purchase the program at any time throughout the year. So these are all projects that we help people with, and they're all projects that the project managers that I have trained to move from corporate to the online space have started managing. And again, the foundations are knowing how to plan, knowing how to ask questions, and knowing how to deal with people. And so if you already have experience with that in the corporate space, awesome. And then, but there are some differences. And so it does take, it's helpful to have some guidance when it comes to transitioning, which is actually why I have a program and why I also have a mentorship program too.
Yeah. And it sounds as though if you're not doing an imminent launch, like something's about to happen now, there are always other opportunities where your clients are going to want to continue to work with you. There's always something going on in the background. And I think that that's something that people should keep in mind, that it's all about building those relationships and opportunities that just kind of present themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And like a big thing that also comes up after somebody has a launch, or if they're getting ready for a launch, are systems. And so, I mean, I was even explaining before about like as my company grows, and right now we're at like the multiple six-figure mark, we're going to be growing and expanding, within the next year as well. And so systems need to change. So what was working, when I first started my business is not going to be working anymore. There's some things that still work, but there's a lot of things that need to be shifted. So what a project manager can do, either before a project or even after a project, is think about what's going on right now? Are we being the most efficient? Are there different systems that we can be using? Can we set them up so that by the time we get into the next project, we have that foundation in place? So that's really, that's another project that's not necessarily considered, I wouldn't say a launch, but is necessary in order to launch.
Absolutely. Well, Nicole, I wanted to thank you so much for joining me today. I've loved getting to talk with you today, and I'm sure everyone else loved hearing more about you and the project designer and everything you have going on. I think one of the things I really took away is just to keep yourself open to possibilities, to really recognize that if you follow your heart and it really is something that you're passionate about, the world is your oyster. It can really be whatever you want it to be. So get rid of the assumptions, start to think creatively, and find a way to make it happen for yourself. So everyone, thank you so much for joining. That's it with Bring Your All and Nicole Romano. Thank you all so much, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.